and we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum.
I'm Ann Northrup.
And we start with a breakthrough in Florida. The police have arrested a homophobic man in the killing of Walt Lay.
The dog park guy is surprised that they actually didn't arrest. And another possible breakthrough in Florida, they've reached a settlement between the state and the LGBTQ plaintiffs on the challenge to the Don't Say Gay law in schools.
Veteran gay activist David Mixner has died at 77.
He was everywhere, as we will let you know. President Biden once again gives a very brief shout-out to LGBTQ rights in his State of the Union address.
And George Santos was there, and he's now taking another shot at of election to Congress that expelled him.
And a couple of other notes from the State of the Union. A wave of LGBTQ wins on Super Tuesday.
Anti-LGBTQ hate crimes in schools have, not surprisingly, quadrupled in states with anti-LGBTQ laws.
Who could have seen that coming? The governor of Virginia has signed a Democratic-passed bill protecting same-sex marriage from court reversal.
Virginia. The founder of the District of Columbia Agency for LGBTQ Youth was arrested for fraud.
A satellite golf tour, that's a low-level tour, has banned trans women.
Malachi McCourt, author, actor, progressive activist, and great LGBTQ ally, has died at 92.
We hope to end the show with a little music from him. And we will review a documentary about caring for an old cranky gay uncle. He's really cranky. And a play about the corruption of the Rupert Murdoch empire.
All right, so we start in Florida. We told you about how a gay man, Walt Lay, 52, was killed by a man who had been anti-gay harassing him for weeks. There's a picture of
years, I think, in a dog park.
For a while. And he even issued a video statement to friends about what was going on.
The day before his killing.
Do we have that?
Yes, we do.
Hey, this is part of my video diary that I'm sending to you because the police told me to do this with Deck, which I'm trying not to call the police. The lady Sharon comes here. So this morning, while I'm walking, we're the only two here, and he comes up to me and screams at me, "You're going to die. You're going to die." And I ask him to just leave me alone. And so far he has, but again, Sharon said...
So this creep, Deck Radford, and now was just around. We have his mugshot to show you. But at first, he said it was self-defense. Walt came at me. I had to shoot him.
This is a stand your ground event in the state of Florida.
And there was no arrest.
Everybody says, what do you mean? He's been harassing him. He's been threatening him. Walt on video is saying he is threatening to kill me. And the next day he did.
So there's all this pressure from Equality Florida and all these other groups to say, you got to do an investigation. And the police are pretty close-mouthed about it. But they were conducting an investigation and they did find enough evidence to indict him.
He's been indicted on second-degree murder with a hate crime definition of that. The police said, look, there were only the two of them there. The one survivor said he was coming at me. I had to do it. We had to prove otherwise, and that's not easy, and we had to take our time gathering evidence to do it. And now we have arrested and indicted this guy. So
this is the, it's great news. I mean, let's see how the trial goes.
It was horrifying news to think that he wouldn't be arrested. Just shocking.
Of course, the other big news from Florida this week is that the lawsuit brought against the Don't Say Gay law by Equality Florida and Family Equality was settled with the Florida State Board of Education and Florida Department of Education. Now, Governor DeSantis is saying, oh, it's his signature law. He's saying it was upheld, but the state had to sign off on a lot of clarifications and concessions, and they were represented by Roberta Kaplan in this, who is everywhere.
Well, the state wasn't. The plaintiffs
were. No, the plaintiffs were.
The LGBT.
Right.
Here's this law that was passed that said you cannot instruct on sexual orientation and gender identity first in K through third grade, and then they expanded it up through at least eighth grade.
Yeah, that's because Nikki Haley said it shouldn't be talked about at all.
Yeah, so then all hell broke loose. Library books were banned and thrown out. People were not allowed to identify or as LGBTQ or mention the words, or, you know, pride flags were taken out of schools. Teachers couldn't talk about their same-sex spouses. It just went crazy and terror in the schools. So a bunch of parents and kids and teachers and LGBTQ organizations like Equality Florida and the National Center for Lesbian Rights and others got together with Robbie Kaplan as the lead lawyer and filed suit against the law. So they went to court and argued about this for a while. Our side saying it's unconstitutional.
2 years.
Abridgment of free speech. And the state saying, you know, we have the right to have this law. And the court said, ruled against the LGBTQ plaintiffs, saying that they didn't have standing to sue. Now, how they could not have standing to sue when they're the parents and the kids and whatever, I don't know. But at that point, they entered into negotiations because our side, which I'll just shorthand it that way, said, we think we could probably win this on appeal. We could establish our standing on this, but that's going to take years more. So we are willing to talk about a settlement. And they entered into this settlement, which requires the state, leaves the law standing, but really narrows its definition and requires the state to send a note to all schools in the state saying...
Robbie Kaplan said it makes clear the legitimacy of LGBTQ student groups, safeguards against hate and bullying, lets LGBTQ students and staff openly draw on or display pictures of partners and families.
The law doesn't outlaw the library books anymore.
Right.
All the books can be in the library. They just can't be used for instruction. Now, I think this law is still heinous to set those standards about instruction. We used to go into the schools 35 years ago, giving instruction on LGBTQ issues and lives to kids as young as fourth grade. So to outlaw this now, no outside speakers giving this kind of instruction, but I think that's for another lawsuit with people who can establish standing more easily. But DeSantis is saying, hey, the law still stands. You did nothing to me. It was exaggerated in the first place.
And it would violate the law to instruct that heterosexuality is superior to other sexualities.
That's right.
Or that cisgender identities are superior to transgender identities.
That's the cute thing in the settlement. The state agreed to equal treatment. So you cannot instruct on heterosexuality any more than homosexuality or bisexuality, right, or any other variation. And it's going to be a neat trick to see how the state is going to avoid instructing on heterosexuality. They have lessons like, how do you teach that Q and U always go together? Just like a husband and wife always go together. It's the lesson plan.
I don't remember that.
It's there. I've seen
pictures.
They
didn't teach us that in Catholic school. But anyway, kudos to Equality Florida, Nadine Smith, the whole crew down there.
Shannon Minter at NCLR.
Yes.
And, of course, the inevitable Robbie Kaplan.
Who also this week warned Donald Trump, you are defaming my client, E. Jean Carroll, again, and we can get another $90 million out of you if you don't stop.
And the good news from the legislature in Florida is that in this past session, only one of 20 anti-LGBTQ bills passed. And that is thanks to, believe it or not, the Republican leader of the state Senate.
Kathleen Passidomo. She tried to refocus the chamber's priorities away from DeSantis's culture war agenda. And, you know, they passed a lot of anti-LGBTQ bills last year in the run-up to his failed bid for the Republican nomination for president. But there was a lot of mobilizing by Equality Florida, Florida Rising, Florida's Protecting Freedom, and they all organized to stop these bad bills. And they won this time, 95% of them.
So perhaps the tide is turning in Florida.
Well, no, I would think they're going to they run out of things and they're going to move on to somebody else to hate.
Well, I don't know. I don't think they ever run out of ways to hate us. But DeSantis is so defeated at this point, and the legislature isn't even paying so much attention to him anymore.
He's term limited, isn't he?
I believe so. Yes, no. And there is light at the end of the tunnel in Florida.
All right. Okay. So a big loss this week in the community. Veteran gay activist David Mixner. He's died at the age of 77, apparently from complications from COVID and a lot of other health conditions. There's his book, Stranger Among Friends. He was a big political operative, and he wasn't out for a long time. And he talks about how that weighed on him. And then he finally did come out. And, of course, when he did come out and started raising money as an openly gay person, a lot of people wouldn't take his money.
Or give him money.
Right.
But he had said, well, there he is with Bill Clinton. That's the big story that everyone talks about, that he befriended Clinton in anti-war movements in the late 60s. Mixner was a very consequential leader of the mobilization against the war. And
1969.
Yeah. So the moratorium to end the war, the Vietnam War in 1969. And he and Clinton became very friendly at that time. And so he got involved when Clinton was then running for president in 92 and became an advisor on a lot of issues and got Clinton to agree as part of his campaign to promise to put money into HIV/AIDS funding.
Well, he said he lost 180 friends. That's what he said to Clinton.
Yes.
And, of course, the other big issue was
The military. Don't ask, don't tell. Getting Clinton to promise to get rid of don't ask, don't tell.
And we'd been demanding that the Democratic nominee for president from Walter Mondale on had to commit to get rid of the, you know, ban on gays in the military.
So Clinton made all these promises, and then he gets elected and gets into office, and lo and behold, he's backing away. Now, part of that was Clinton's fault because he went charging out there with this stuff, and he got slapped down by Sam Nunn.
I disagree. It's not because he went charging out there. It's because he didn't go charging out there. He could have signed it on day one and said, we're ending the ban on gays in the military. You sign a bunch of executive orders the first day. Let them come after you. They can come after you after that. He wouldn't do that. He let himself get rolled and into a discussion because he had been an anti-war activist. That's part of the reason. And he was really he couldn't deal with the generals.
Well,
including Colin Powell.
The story was told that Jimmy Carter got amnesty for people who refused to serve in Vietnam by just signing that, among 20 other things, when he first, the first day he took office. And if Clinton had done that, it might have all been very different.
Yes.
He didn't. He said, we have to wait 6 months.
So David felt very betrayed, and it took a long time for them to patch up their relationship.
David then participated in, like, demos outside the White House and got arrested. And then Clinton and his people just made him anathema.
But, you know, earlier in his life, he worked on campaigns for Harvey Milk in San Francisco, Tom Hayden. And he managed Tom
Brett. He went to the South and during the Civil Rights Movement and participated in demonstrations there and the anti-war stuff.
And while he was still closeted in 1976, he helped found the Municipal Elections Committee of Los Angeles, which was the first gay PAC in the country. In 1979, he also helped get Ronald Reagan to oppose Proposition 6, which would ban gay teachers.
Yep.
He lost his partner, Peter Scott, to AIDS in 1989. And we are going to link to a video interview that David did with California Out leader Sheila Kuehl. His funeral will be March 25th at 10 a.m. at St. Paul the Apostle, over here on 405 West 59th Street at 10 a.m.
He also may be in a hangover from his Clinton falling out, endorsed Obama over Hillary and Bernie over Hillary in more recent times. He also was a co-founder of the Victory Fund, which elects LGBTQ candidates. By the way, that picture of him with Bill Clinton early on was by Karen Oakham. We want to give credit where we know about it.
Right.
But that's, you know, you could call him the Forrest Gump of the movement, but that's a little infantilizing. The point is he was there in all these issues before the LGBTQ movement, during it and after, or still, and was a seminal figure in all of this.
Okay. All right, let's go to the State of the Union. Once again, we got a shout out from President Biden. Let's hear from him.
And stop denying another core value of America, our diversity across American life. Banning books, it's wrong. Instead of erasing history, let's make history. I want to protect fundamental rights. Pass the Equality Act. And my message to transgender Americans, I have your back.
His line about having the backs of transgender people kind of get buried in the applause.
Swallowed. But, you know, certainly nice to hear him say those things.
Again.
Yes. A little more action on getting rid of banning books.
The Equality Act, by the way, for those of you who don't know, would protect civil rights on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity.
Wouldn't that be nice? But I was particularly taken by Kamala's outfit. I thought, man, this is Butch Kamala. There she is. And that, well, she's not wearing one of her little scoop neck, T-shirts. She's up there in a big white shirt and a boxy jacket. I thought when she walked in. That was great.
And there's Mike Johnson in his MAGA tie. People get to invite, everybody gets to invite guests there. His guest, he invited a detransition teen, Chloe Cole, as his guest at the State of the Union. So trans people, Biden has your back, and Mike Johnson wants you to go back.
Yeah, that was a little nasty. She's a popular speaker around the country these days in the middle of this debate. More on that debate later.
By the way, a GLAAD poll found that LGBTQ voters favored Biden over Trump by 68% to 15%, and in swing states by 72% to 15%.
Phew.
And that LGBTQ voters are highly motivated, 83% definitely voting and 11% more probably voting. That's a lot.
Well, one of the anti-Biden gay people at the State of the Union was George Santos, who, yes, as an ex-member of Congress, he's allowed to attend even though he was kicked out. That is a sparkly kind of collar he's wearing around his neck. We haven't quite figured out what that's all about. You could almost think it was some kind of S&M collar.
Well, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
He was a drag queen, or is a drag queen. He's now saying he's wants to run for Congress farther out on Long Island in the first congressional district. He's got a 23-count federal fraud charges that he's facing before he does that.
Well, I think he's taking a lesson from Trump. If he runs for office, he can raise a lot of money and he can use it to pay his lawyers.
Who's going to give him money?
Well, not me.
But he's going to, at least he's going to keep the Republicans spending more money to get rid of him. There is a bill to stop expelled members of Congress from having floor privileges.
But in his old district in Nassau County, just an update, the Nassau County executive is not conceding to Tish James, the attorney general, that he should get rid of his order against trans girls playing sports.
Oh, he's suing her.
He's suing her, yes.
Yes.
And the Long Island.
You're the one who's violating the Constitution. I'm not violating the Constitution.
Well, the Long Island Rollerblades, women's rollerblading team, is now suing him.
It's because they want to have a trans members and use county facilities.
Yes.
By the way, the Human Rights Campaign has an interactive map on the United States on state legislation and LGBTQ rights, tracking more than 750 plus bills pending or introduced in 2024 and that passed last year. And we're going to link to that in our email. Go to gayusatv.org. Sign up for our emails. You get one email a week.
It's not a big deal, but you get lots of meaty stuff like that,
right.
Like the David Mixner interview and like this HRC interactive map. All right, let's go to
Super
local
Tuesday.
Elections. Yes.
We told you last week how out Julie Johnson is the Democratic nominee for Congress from a Dallas suburb and now in California, out Will Rollins will face off again with anti-gay Representative Ken Calvert for Congress in Palm Springs. But we have more results. In the race to succeed Barbara Lee, who ran for Senate in California, out Jennifer Tran, who identifies as queer, is in a runoff with fellow Democrat Latifah Simon in Palm Springs.
That's for the Democratic nomination for Barbara Lee's seat.
Okay. In Palm Springs, Democrat Lisa Middleton, a city councilor, will face a Republican opponent in the fall for state Senate. She would be California's first trans legislator.
Really? That seems unusual.
We're talking about in the state legislature.
Yeah.
In Vermont, the new mayor is Emma Mullaney Stenack, the first woman and the first lesbian elected to that post.
Burlington, Vermont.
Yes, she's a member of the Progressive Party. This is the office that Bernie Sanders used to have. In Texas, Lauren Ashley Simmons, a black woman who identifies as queer, is in a runoff for the state house with a Democrat who voted to ban gender-affirming care. She's a union organizer. And also in Texas, outstate Senate candidate Molly Cook advanced to a runoff with a fellow Democrat. The winner will face a Republican in this Houston area district in the fall.
All right. And?
Oh, and then there's on the downside, the vice president of the Anti-LGBTQ Family Research Council, Reverend Mark Harris, there he is with Tony Perkins, the head of that hateful group, won the Republican nomination for U.S. Congress from North Carolina's 8th congressional district with 30% of the vote in a big field as the Christian nationalist takeover of the Republican Party continues apace.
Well, he's the guy who was disqualified from a race a couple of years ago because he did election rigging. Miscounting votes or manipulating the vote count. So he's a crook. As well as being a right-wing maniac, he is an actual crook.
In Huntington...
Wait, I also wanted to just bring up a note from about Mark Robinson, the Republican nominee for governor of North Carolina. We left out one thing about him last week. He believes that we should go back to a time when women could not vote.
Yes, he said this.
Yes, he did. I mean, I don't want that to get lost.
Well, and I hope it's not lost on the voters of North Carolina.
Yeah.
How could a woman vote for someone who doesn't think you should vote?
There will be some who do.
In Huntington Beach, California, 58% of voters voted to ban the display of non-governmental flags on public properties. City Hall could still fly commemorative banners for events such as the Olympics. What about Pride Day? Well, the target, of course, was pride flags. The Orange County city is known as the Angry Town USA for its protest against lockdowns. But I hope the businesses in Huntington Beach will keep flying those rainbow flags.
Some other state and local news. In Philadelphia, Libs of TikTok has succeeded in fear-mongering some funding of the William Way Community Center out of existence. They found something in their literature that said that they rent out space, as community centers do, to all sorts of groups, and one was to a group that educates about sexual practices.
Bondage.
Yes. They don't perform it there. They have educational sessions. So Libs of TikTok publicized this. There was a funding stream federally going to the William Way Community Center, I think $1 million. So let me just double check that. I don't have the amount. But immediately, Senators Fetterman and Casey withdrew the funds from the bill.
In the old days at the New York Community Center, the gay male S&M activists donated all the chairs in the main hall.
Yes. But they weren't getting a lot of public funds, I guess.
Right.
The senators did say they will try to restore the funding next year, and this was sort of a defensive move.
Right now it's tied up.
Yeah. Sorry, it took me a second.
In Virginia, the Democrat-controlled House of Delegates passed a marriage equality bill a month ago, and the Democrat-controlled Senate also in late February. But Republican Governor Youngkin actually decided to sign this thing. So that's, you know, I mean, this means we're protected from this. They are protected from the Supreme Court, people like Clarence Thomas.
Well, we've got a campaign to do this everywhere where we need to, and it is a nice surprise that he did that.
Get to work out there if you've still got a law on the books against same-sex marriage.
But get to work in Arkansas, where our pal Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders, you remember her, announced that she doesn't like this nonsense, that's what she called it, of non-binary people, trans people, changing gender identities or putting an X marker on driver's licenses and other government documents. So she's getting rid of it. She needs a little legislative help on that, but she's just basically by fiat saying, forget it. Now, what this means is that if your driver's license says X, you can keep that until it expires. But when it expires, you have to go back to your biological birth gender designation.
It's disgusting.
And if you are, say, a trans woman and your driver's license says you are male, you're not going to have an easy time in the state of Arkansas.
Alarming. In Brookfield, Connecticut, we told you how the school board voted to keep Alison Bechdel's lesbian-themed graphic memoir, Fun Home, on the shelves by a 5-4 vote. On Friday after this, all the schools and the town hall were closed by bomb threats, which were also made against the homes of some school board officers. The FBI is investigating the threats. But these people out there are so unhinged by the idea of anything LGBTQ in the world, and it's scary.
Well, people have figured out that this swatting and bomb threats are very easy to do. And they have evidently found a way to do it without getting into trouble. And so it's become quite common.
Well, if you do, it's a very serious crime if you get caught.
Back to Virginia and Lynchburg, Virginia, where Liberty University has agreed to pay $14 million to the Department of Education in Virginia because they didn't report crimes on their campuses, their campus. Rapes, robberies, assaults, they just...
traditional values.
Very Christian of them.
In Texas, good news, in Keller... The spring student production of The Laramie Project, which is about the aftermath of the death of Matthew Shepard, it was canceled for its gay themes, but it was reinstated after protests from students and community members. The district said it recognized the time and effort that had been put into the show at Timber Creek High School by the students and the staff.
Oh, these people are shameless. Just say you made a mistake and you were wrong. They put in the time, so we've decided that we won't cancel the show. Come on.
Well, also in Texas, the male chemistry teacher who had put on a pink dress for a school spirit day at Hebron High School and was targeted by the avenging devil, Jaya Raychick again, resigned his job after being suspended. Rahmand Chak Yadi, a popular Indonesian-born teacher, couldn't deal with the harassment, including from Governor Greg Abbott, who used the controversy to boost his support for the school voucher program, whereby the state pays for private education, even if you're a billionaire. The district investigation found that Chayadi had not violated any school policies. 26,000 kids signed a petition on his behalf. But now all the kids are being split between two chemistry teachers and overcrowded.
In Oklahoma, follow up on the death of Nex Benedict.
Yeah.
First of all, we told you last week that the Westboro Baptist Church was revived and coming out to demonstrate, their usual hate. Well, six of them showed up and 400 of Nexus supporters showed up. And then they had a community meeting at the school about all of this. And hundreds of parents showed up to yell at the school board about the bullying that takes place in the school.
Well, in states with laws targeting LGBTQ issues, school hate crimes have quadrupled. A Washington Post did an analysis of the FBI data on this. Calls to LGBTQ youth crisis hotlines have exploded. LGBTQ students are on edge after the death of Nex Benedict in Oklahoma following that beating in a restroom. Kids hear their parents parroting the anti-LGBTQ rhetoric that politicians and Fox News constantly do. And this stuff prompts people to act out against LGBTQ people. Overall, these hate crimes have doubled in the country, but in the 28 states that have enacted these anti-LGBTQ laws, they've quadrupled.
Well, in Woodstock, New York, Shane Wilbur, a young man, has been sentenced to 2 to 4 years in prison for a felony hate crime for just randomly assaulting a gay guy in a bar there.
Yep. He jumped over the bar with a box cutter.
All right.
In Florida, trans golf. Oh, actually, Brittany Griner. What's going on with her book?
We're going further back. Ruby Corrado.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
The founder of Casa Rubies in the District of Columbia. Ruby started off with a great operation at Casa Ruby for homeless LGBTQ youth, providing some housing, food, education, all sorts of stuff. But things went bad, and she has been accused of money laundering, manipulating state relief funds. She fled to El Salvador and then, for some reason, came back to Maryland after a couple of years and has been charged with all those fraud. Employees, vendors were not paid. The agency was closed, and now she has been...
And she's being kept because she's a high risk for flight, so she's being kept in prison, although the judge said that they would consider releasing her to a third-party custodian. She faces decades behind bars for this. I mean, it's so dispiriting because, of course, such a great cause. But this was hundreds of thousands of dollars she was diverting into her own account.
Yep. Very sad. And in Philadelphia, there's a whole scandal going on there. The executive director of the Philadelphia Office of LGBTQ Affairs is a trans woman named Selena Morrison. She was stopped by cops on the highway, accused of tailgating too closely. That's a little specious. She was being followed in a car by her husband, Darius McLean, who pulled up and started objecting to this traffic stop. That is now him on the ground being beaten up by the cops and tased. Both were arrested, jailed for 12 hours. They were on their way to a mechanic. That's why they were following each other to get the forward car fixed. The officer who did this has been placed on restricted duty. McLean, by the way, is the chief operating officer of the aforementioned William Way Community Center. And there are charges of, transphobia, racism. This is now being investigated at a high level in Philadelphia.
Also being investigated is a cold case in New York. They're looking harder at the murder in 1980 of a very famous voice coach, Frederick Wilson, killed in his Manhattan home. Wilkerson.
Yep.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah. Killed in his Manhattan home by two men. We have a picture of them, the sketches, rather, after a sexual encounter gone wrong. No one was ever arrested. Wilkerson's clients included Maya Angelou, Roberta Flack, and Paul Robeson. He was 67. an opera singer who, you know, worked with him, got the DA to reopen the case.
Yes, he had been a visitor of Wilkerson's, and now 44 years later has convinced the DA to reopen the case. There's evidently some good evidence on it.
He was black. I mean, the two suspects are two, all they really are saying, besides the sketches, two black men in their 20s or 30s, now, of course, in their 70s. Anyone with a lead, call Crime Stoppers at 1-800-777-TIPS.
I can't keep up with Elon Musk, but he is evidently reversing himself again. He had declared that misgendering and dead naming was no good on X. It was harassment. And now he's decided it's free speech. So
he really hates this trans child who has disowned him.
He hates a lot of people, I think.
All right.
Brittany Griner, yes, is out with a new autobiography on April 8th, In My Skin. She, in this, accuses Baylor University, which is a Christian university, where she was very, very successful as a basketball player.
And just honored.
Yes. Last week we were showing her celebrating them, putting up her number in the rafters. But now in this book, she's accusing them and her coach, Kim Mulkey, of being very anti-LGBTQ.
I can imagine.
It should be an interesting book tour.
In Florida, trans golfer Haley Davidson has been banned from the minor league. It's called the Next Tour, which just adopted a policy that competitors must be biological females at birth. Davidson was a three-time winner on the tour and ranked second for the season. Last month, the Arizona-based Cactus Tour took the same position.
Now, Haley has won a couple of tournaments, but also tried to get on the main LPGA Tour and failed at Q School, the qualifying tournament, a couple of times, and is really offended by this. And said, you know, the LPGA has standards that allow trans competitors.
They opened it up in 2010.
Yes. And you have to, and this next tour, the NXXT tour, had rules about transitioning and standards you had to meet. Haley is being, I think, retested for testosterone levels, but this blanket exclusion seems insane.
Well, but then there's Bobby Lancaster, the first trans athlete to compete in the LPGA qualifying school, now saying, I don't think it's fair for trans women like herself to compete against cisgender women in women's sports.
I think at the very least it should be a case-by-case basis at this level where people can, you know, you establish certain standards and then you see whether people meet them and whether they have an unfair advantage or not. Right. And as we always say, did anyone tell Michael Phelps his arms were too long and he couldn't compete?
Right.
No.
In the NCAA Division I Indoor Track and Field Championship, out Nico Young of Northern Arizona State won the 5,000-meter and the 3,000-meter races and the latter in record time. He's the only college runner ever to break the 13-minute mark in the 5,000. He came out in 2022 wanting to set an example for people struggling with their sexuality.
I think it's Northern Arizona University. Am I wrong?
That is correct.
You said Northern Arizona State.
Okay.
But he is expected to compete in the Olympics in Paris this year, so keep an eye open for Nico Young in Paris.
And we told you about Matt Lynch, the first out gay male college basketball head coach, given the task of completely rebuilding South Carolina's Sakahatchee team. Well, he's having a winning season.
And he had nothing to begin with. No team, no running water, no nothing. All right. You want to talk about Malachi?
One of our greatest allies, Malachi McCourt, has died at 92 in New York. Not gay himself. There he is at the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York when we finally were able to get in. But he was always part of that 25-year fight to get into the St. Patrick's Day parade. And then when we got in, he'd come, even when he was in his wheelchair, to be a part of that. He was a mainstay. He was a mainstay of the St. Pat's for All parade in Queens for 25 years. Now, he's the brother of Frank McCourt, but a best-selling author in his own right. His last book was Death Need Not Be Fatal. This guy even survived hospice care. They threw him out because he wouldn't die. They throw you out after 6 months. But all who knew him...
Except Jimmy Carter.
He was also an actor, owner of the first singles bar in New York, Malachy's on the Upper East Side, host of a progressive radio show, and the Green Party candidate for governor in 2006. He also got the word hell in the phone book for his bar, the Bells of Hell. They said, it's a four-letter word. And they tried to stop him.
So are a lot of others.
We may hear from him. Going to hear from him at the end of the show.
Yeah, we have a little
in
music.
Honor of St. Patrick's Day
and him with Edie Windsor and Brendan Fay singing. So stay tuned for that.
Okay.
All right. Meanwhile, international news. All right. Well, let's start with Uganda.
Yes.
Member of Parliament Sarah Opendi was denied a visa to come to the United States for a UN meeting. She's the one who said gay people should be castrated so that there would be no sex in prison.
Well, but, you know, in
December, it's an interesting formula.
In December, the U.S. imposed visa restrictions on hundreds of Uganda lawmakers and their families over their involvement in the Kill the Gays bill that passed in the legislature with one dissent.
But she did get into the U.K., I guess, for the Commonwealth meeting.
And Peter Tatchell led with the Ugandan groups there a big demonstration at Westminster Abbey where they all get together.
Well, there's still dozens of Commonwealth countries that outlaw homosexuality, that criminalize
30 of them.
Yeah,
criminalize
it, and have a few have the death penalty. So why are they all meeting without any approbation in these Commonwealth meetings? By the way, the president of Ghana has still not signed the Kill the Gays bill there.
Which also passed kind of unanimously
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but there seems to be some delay because he's getting a lot of pressure from corporations, other countries, and internally that this is bad for business. Bad for their reputation.
Don't they know how easy it is to hate and oppress gay people without these laws?
Exactly. Why bother?
All right. Well, we told you that, you know, Greece enacted marriage equality, and there has been some reaction. In Greece's second city, Thessalonica, a mob of 200 people dressed in black chased a trans couple through the town square outside a film festival that included a tribute to LGBTQ cinema. The couple were hit by bottles as they were escorted out by the police. So the following night, thousands of our side gathered to protest this horrific attack, and the opposition leader in the country, who's out gay, Stephanos Kasalakis, who was...
You sound like Trump.
who is out... I got it. Who is out gay. Don't... he was attacked by another masked mob, had to flee inside the theater. 21 of their side were arrested, many of them juveniles, many of them from Georgia and Albania. Could just as easily be Georgia and Albania. Georgia and the countries. Thessalonica is going to host Euro Pride in June. So
I think it's Thessaloniki.
Thessaloniki.
Okay. Yes, some were arrested. Back to the UK. In London, the actress who was scheduled to appear in The Color Purple and then was ushered out the door when her anti-lesbian previous statements became public because she was going to play Celie, which is the lesbian role, she was not fired, according to a court, for her Christian beliefs. She was just wrong for the role.
We have a picture of there. Say Omuba. She kept pressing this. Now, she's on the hook for £300,000, I think, which is a lot of money.
Really?
It's 385. Because you sue and you lose in England, you pay. $385,000 she owes. But she said, I won't be a lukewarm Christian.
And you'll be happy to know that Richard Grenell is up to his old tricks.
Yeah.
He is wading into
this is the out gay former Trump official.
Yes, a nasty piece of work. And he's inserting himself in the Israeli Gaza fight, She's created a new website called Queer in Gaza, and it's all about how Hamas is mean to queer people, and we should all be on Israel's side because they are nice to Palestinians who go there for asylum. And it's all pinkwashing.
Okay.
It's all just making trouble.
Zimbabwe's vice president says his country does not have room to accommodate LGBTQ people. He was reacting to the Gays and Lesbians of Zimbabwe, GALS, announcement of annual scholarships to LGBTQ students. And he says, we don't want this stuff in our country. They have penalties for same-sex relations there for 14 years in prison already. The Pope says Ukraine should have the courage to wave the white flag and negotiate an end to the war. I hope he waves the white flag on, and ends his church's historic condemnation of gay love and women priests. Ireland had a referendum on expanding the definition of family. It was very badly written, and it failed.
They did a bad job of promoting it, too. So I think they'll go back and try again.
And in the UK, the NHS will no longer prescribe puberty blockers to children under 18 at gender identity clinics. Of course, a decision welcomed by the Conservative government. It followed a public consultation and review of services. It was triggered by a steep rise in referrals to the Tavistock Clinic to 5,000 in 2021 from under 250 10 years earlier. The clinic is closing. The government claims, no, we're still going to serve these people, you know, through regional clinics. But there's a waiting list of 5,000 children to get these services because that's the NHS all over.
Yes.
And if you need dental services, forget it.
Christy Noem had no problem getting dental services in Texas. You didn't see this story? Christy Noem, the governor of North Dakota, is now doing an infomercial for a dental service in Texas about how she changed her teeth and got implants and has a lovely smile.
What's this? They couldn't get Katie Britt? That's the Alabama senator who was so nuts.
He's got this multi-minute infomercial that is now airing on television about how she has fixed her smile for the people of North Dakota.
I guess being governor of North Carolina doesn't pay very much.
Dakota,
North Dakota.
But this, the trans kids and the puberty blockers is a huge issue these days. You know, we talk about the girl at the State of the Union.
Chloe
Cole, thank you. But there's this whole thing. The right wing has put out a new report that purports to have some sort of secret communications within WPATH, the World Professional something on
transgender health.
Yes. And which is sort of talking about research that needs to be done. And they've turned this into, see, they don't even believe in it themselves. And then WPATH says, no, this has all been manipulated and it's not true. And this is blowing up all over. And the right wing is now using this clinic, in English clinics, restricting puberty blockers as part of their evidence, when in fact the English are just saying, look, what everyone is saying, the trans health doctors, the right wing, the English, what everyone is saying is we need more research. So what the English are doing is saying we will continue to provide puberty blockers, but only to people who are part of a research project.
And the 100 kids who are on it are not being taken off it.
No, they're not. And the WPATH doctors are saying, look, we agree there is a dearth of research, but what you are missing is the fact that at least 95%, maybe more, people who transition are happy and continually affirm their choices and their new lives. And do some people regret it? Of course. People regret all sorts of things, but it's a tiny, tiny percentage. So this is not going to be solved easily, but it's an ugly kind of debate at the moment.
In AIDS news, Nebraska's unicameral legislature passed a bipartisan needle exchange bill in the fight against HIV infection, but the reactionary governor, Jim Pillen, vetoed it, saying it would enable drug use and turn Nebraska into San Francisco. This you should be so lucky.
This at a time when HIV new infections are rising in Nebraska. It's going to be just like Pence in Indiana.
But he did expand the needle exchange.
Eventually.
Mike Pence in Indiana did, but went under pressure. But they tried to override his veto, but they fell three short.
People who had voted for it originally when it passed, but then backed down. Maybe Pence should talk to the governor of Nebraska.
Pence. All right.
Entertainment news.
Well, not too much to talk about in terms of the Oscars. Several LGBTQ nominees, but only one LGBTQ winner, Billie Eilish, who won for Best Song, What Was I Made For? From Barbie, co-written with her brother Phineas. We'll link to their performance at the Oscars.
Oh, can we link to I'm Just Ken, too?
Maybe. I can.
That's pretty gay.
I can, like.
All of Barbie was pretty gay. Jimmy Kimmel did have a sort of mild gay joke about with Ryan
yes.
Gosling at the start, but it was inoffensive, I thought. Yeah. But we did find out in the midst of all the writing about the Oscars that there in 2016, 8 years ago, there was a trans singer,
Anonhi. Anani, A-N-O-N-H-I.
Formerly Antony of Antony and the Johnsons, who transitioned, and you just saw a picture of her there. Well, they were nominated for Best Song, but they were not invited to perform because she was trans.
They invited Lady Gaga, Sam Smith, and The Weeknd. But she wasn't. And she found that degrading, so she boycotted the ceremony.
And, of course, my heartbreak of the Oscars was that Michelle Pfeiffer had a family emergency and could not show up to co-present with Al Pacino Best Picture, which was an even bigger tragedy for Al Pacino, given what happened with him. What a mess.
I did love that the former nominees paying tribute to the new nominees. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about this new documentary from the United Kingdom, Much Ado About Dying.
Opening this weekend in New York City and then the following weekend in L.A.
So this filmmaker, Simon Chambers, he got a call from his cranky old gay Uncle David. Come
there
home.
On the left, slightly naked.
Come home, I may be dying. So you come home when your uncle says that. And then he documents trying to help this very difficult guy. Who spends most of his time sitting around in his underwear. If you've ever had a care for a difficult old relative or friend, you will be able to relate.
He burned down the house and made his neighbors homeless. That was him. They finally, after several years, got him into what they call a care home in England. That was him being entertained by the singing group that goes around at the care home. He resisted for years, and once he got there, he said, wow, this place is great. But he's a little hard to take. But he was a Shakespearean actor, and there's a lot of King Lear throughout. It turns out to be a very engaging movie, but, boy, is he annoying for a long time.
Well,
Much Ado About Dying.
I mean, Simon at one point says, I wish he'd died in the fire.
Yes.
How about that?
It's a unique documentary about a family.
All right. Inside Out 2.
Pixar is coming out with Inside Out 2 on June 14th, and it turns out that Riley, the main character there on the left, develops a crush on a new girl at school. Now, Inside Out is the one where all the emotions are displayed by different characters. That's really the point of the movie. So they're bringing in the emotions of having a crush on a same-sex classmate.
Weird.
Very interesting. It's all animated, but Inside Out was a very popular movie, and this is Inside Out, too.
So I saw a good play this week at Lincoln Center, Corruption by J.T. Rogers, about the infamous phone hacking scandal by Rupert Murdoch's tabloids in 2010, where thousands of phones were hacked, not just members of parliament and royals, but average people in distress. Now, Toby Stevens there on the right, that's Maggie Smith's son, by the way, plays the Labour MP, Tom Watson, who crusades to bring the scandal to light, and he's terrific. But so's the whole ensemble, directed by Bartlett Scheer. It's invigorating for 2 hours and 40 minutes, but it's ultimately depressing because, as we know, Murdoch and his right-wing media empire has not been brought down.
Well, I don't know if any of you are watching The Traitors. That's become the sort of underground hit of the year. It airs on Peacock. They just finished season two. It's not too late to watch it. This is the show hosted by Alan Cumming. It's a reality competition show. 20 or so contestants, all from different reality shows, gather at his Scottish castle. Probably not his Scottish castle, but it's portrayed that way. And then they go through weeks and weeks of eliminating each other in various ways. So I'm not going to give any spoilers, but on this second season, one of the contestants was Peppermint, our friend who is a drag performer here, was on RuPaul's Drag Race, very popular, and was the first one out. I will spoil it. I'll spoil the first episode by saying that. So they just did the reunion show, and Peppermint gave a very eloquent and sort of heart-wrenching description of her reaction to being the first one voted out, and said, you know, when you come into something like this with this group, if you're the one who's different, you're going to be the first to go because people are uncomfortable. And it just broke my heart because I was looking in this time of trans hatred and all the discrimination to being able to educate and be the personification of something. And it was bigger than a game for me. It was really about what's happening in society these days. So to have them reject me like that in the first episode was really horrible and really deprived us all of a great opportunity.
Well, we are accepted in the St. Patrick's Day Parade on Fifth Avenue. I'll be there. It's on Saturday, March 16th this year, 48th Street between 5th and Madison, and we'll sadly be without Malachi McCourt, but we'll have him singing to us at the end of the show here, because that's something he always did. He sang Wild Mountain Time. That's T-H-Y-M-E.
And here he is doing a little of it with Edie Windsor and Brendan Fay. See you next week.
My love should be, I would never find another where the wild mountain time crawls around the blooming heather. Will you go see?
Sing the song, children,
and we'll all.
It's going to be your last, because one day you'll be right.